Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
I don't even know where to begin. So while I collect my thoughts, I'll let you go ahead and bask in the glow that the Dallas Cowboys defeated the Chiefs on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving, and then we can get into Black Friday. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah, so started off with very insanely short week after playing, Sunday against the Eagles and that comeback win, and then immediately following that up with probably the most watched game of the season and the last few years that a lot of people were saying 50 million people watching. I mean, it was as close of a must win as of an elimination game as it could be for both teams. Both teams technically, statistically could afford a loss in that game, but I know for us it would have been almost the nail in the coffin for the season. And the Chiefs, their hopes are still alive. They think they can still run the table, but going into it, both teams have their backs against the wall. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it showed. It was a very, very competitive game. It started off one turnover, I think. I think Dak's interception was the only turnover in the game. It was very early. I think it was his second pass attempt on our first third down. He throws an interception, and I knew that it was going to be a game against a Steve Spagnuolo defense that, I mean, people have been saying that has given Dak trouble in the past.
How often have you played the Chiefs?
That's my thing. We haven't really played them too often, and it hasn't just been terrible. I think he's played them on the Chiefs one time before that, and I think he was with the Giants earlier. Yeah. Dak lost him two times his rookie year when those were his only two losses his entire career against the Giants, and then he was there his sophomore season when Dak beat them twice. So, I mean, at this point, he's 3-3 against them. He won two wins when he was with the Giants, two losses when he was with the Giants, a win with the Chiefs, and a loss with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't really too nervous about that. I just knew that they were going to blitz a lot. He was going to bring a lot of pressure, and it was going to be up to Dak to kind of recognize that at the line of scrimmage, kind of point that out, tell people where they need to be blocking, understand where the pressure is going to be coming from. And outside of that first, like I said, on that first third down, the pressure got to him. He got hit, altering his throw, interception, and then they scored within, I think, maybe three plays after that.
Yeah.
I mean, down 7-0 immediately. And I remember telling my brother that even after that interception, like, maybe it could have been because of the game before the week before, because it wasn't a calendar. It was the NFL week before, but it was only a few days before against the Eagles coming back down from being down 21-0 that, I mean, even after throwing the interception, I mean, I didn't blink. I wasn't nervous that the game was going to get away from us. I wasn't too rattled by that, and clearly the team wasn't either. They immediately immediately drive down the field and get a CeeDee Lamb touchdown to tie the game back up. And from that point on, it was just a battle. And I mean, just the adversity that this team has shown that they can overcome, the grit, the fight that I'm seeing, the effort from people I'm seeing all over the field defensively. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he showed he is the best quarterback of our generation, in my opinion. I feel like it's very hard to argue with this point. He was so that, which is just kind of adds to the win. It wasn't like he beat a Patrick Mahomes team that didn't have much to play for, a Patrick Mahomes team that was kind of shooting itself in the foot. I mean, they were playing, they were firing on pretty much all cylinders, especially offensively. He was being a magician out there, extending plays. We were able to sack him twice, but even those were...
He threw four touchdowns.
I mean, he was running all over the field. Like you said, the parallel pass. He escaped a Quinnen Williams sack, escaped a Donovan Ezeraku sack, and then as he's falling, hits a wide open, I think it was Rashee Rice, maybe, wide down the field. And I mean...
He's the only person I've ever seen do that.
It's ridiculous. I think that, I mean, and even, like you said, he threw four touchdowns, and outside of the first one where they scored, like I said, they scored two, pretty much two plays, Rashee Rice on the screen down the sideline. Outside of that, the touchdowns they had were... I mean, we really made them work for those touchdowns.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice's second touchdown was a third down conversion, but it was Patrick Mahomes was scrambling around, trying to find something, hits him in the back of the end zone, a crazy catch. Travis Kelce's touchdown was a crazy catch. Hollywood Brown's touchdown was a crazy catch.
That was nice.
Literally all of them were very contested, perfect ball placement, perfect late hand catches. I mean, made them work for all of them, and credit to them. They did what they needed to do in those situations, but at the end, it just wasn't enough. We were able to get the ball back at the end of the game and just not even give Patrick Mahomes a chance to come back and beat us. And, I mean, George Pickens was amazing towards the end of the game. He was killing them on the slant route. A lot of people were saying, oh, how are they letting him run it? There was one of the plays the corner had, he started with inside leverage. George Pickens literally ran straight through it. He didn't care.
Yeah.
Still ran his slant, still got the ball, still picked up yardage. And, I mean, I think that, I mean, going into the game, I said it in our last episode that shame on Cowboys fans that had kind of turned their backs on CeeDee Lamb. I was literally seeing people say that we should stick with George Pickens and move on from CeeDee Lamb. And in the crazy scenario where we had to pick between the two, we should pick George Pickens. And CeeDee Lamb showed you exactly why it shouldn't have to be one or the other, why we need both of them. It was kind of an exact flip flop from the Eagles game. And it started off George Pickens. He had a couple drops in this game. And throughout the entire game, CeeDee Lamb was just dominating. Had Trent McDuffie. I mean, he had him looking terrible out there. On his touchdown, he was slipping all over the field. He just couldn't guard. And he's one of the best corners in the league. And CeeDee Lamb finished with 112 yards, a touchdown. I think it might have been 9 catches. And George Pickens, while he had a quiet game up until the fourth quarter,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Where he was just unguardable. I think that, I mean, the hurdle over Trent McDuffie, it's out of a slant. It was started with a slant, then he peels out, then hurdles him. I mean, if he just holds his balance after that, he scores. I mean, that might be one of the plays of the year. And I think that, I mean, it just shows, like I said, it was a problem. It was almost an exact flip-flop because whilst, yes, CeeDee Lamb did have the drops in the Eagles game, he still had 75 yards, I think, like 5-6 catches. And in this game, it was the same. George Pickens had, I think, like 70 yards, 5-6 catches. But, I mean, they all came when we needed them. CeeDee Lamb, his catches were monumental in this win. And just super shout out to Kevontae Turpin, because while he is our designated return man, he gets his, you know, his opportunities in there at the wide receiver three. There was a play towards the end where George Pickens, I mean, he's fighting for extra yards. I mean, you can't get the hurdle play without the, and then he on another play, he's fighting for extra yards, and then the Chiefs make a great play and they punch it out, and it's literally George Pickens. He's already on the ground because he was getting tackled, and there's probably 4 to 5 Chiefs players, and here comes Kevontae Turpin out of nowhere to dive on the ball, save that drive, and I mean, might have saved that game, because if they get the ball back, then the ball's in Patrick Mahomes' hand with under 3-4 minutes with the chance to go win the game, and we all know what he can do with that opportunity. So shout out to Kevontae Turpin for that hustle play. I mean, it just shows that was like the epitome of a special teams player and a special teams play. I mean, just to not even be like really a part of the play, but just to have that, the wherewithal to be like, you know, tracking the ball, making, just being near to be able to make a play, just real credit to him. And I mean, defensively, they did, like I said earlier, they did what they did, all they could. They still gave up 28 points, but it was a very hard fought 28 points. So I can't be too upset at it. And I think just at the end of the day, Dak Prescott is playing the best he's played. He's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, we can talk about maybe the MVP race a little later, but I feel like there's only 2 quarterbacks playing better than him. I think he's playing on the same level as them. I think they're ahead of him in the MVP race because of team record, and that based on where our team is, where it started off, that's why we're kind of falling back in that aspect. But as an individual, I think he's playing just as good as anyone else in the entire NFL. And I mean, it's very satisfying to see, as someone who's been very high on Dak since the moment he's been here. And like I've said earlier in the season, it is the best he's played. I think it's on par, just as good as I've ever seen him play. I've seen this from Dak Prescott before.
Yeah.
It is nice to see that the entire world is also seeing what I'm seeing. Cause I mean, the slander that he's received has just been utterly ridiculous, but we're here now, and it's been a long time coming. And at this point, the season is still not over. A spot in the playoffs still isn't guaranteed. We're still taking it. For me personally, I'm still taking things week by week because we're at this point on a 3-game win streak. And ever since the bye week, every single game we've played is the biggest game of our season.
Yep.
Until we win and have our next game. And like, it was even coming out of the bye against the Raiders. Yes, it's just the Raiders, but that was a game we had to win.
Yeah.
We need to be here. Then we have the Eagles. That's a game we have to win. Then we have the Chiefs. And now we have the Detroit Lions coming up on Thursday. And it's just as big as any of the other ones, if not bigger, seeing as right now we're the 9th seed, I think, and the Lions are the 8th seed. And whoever wins, if we win this, we'll be the 8th seed. We're one spot out of that last playoff position. So,
yeah,
I mean, the Lions, their backs are also up against the wall. I mean, like I said, every game that we win, every game we have going forward is the biggest game of the season until we win it. And go and move on. So I think that, I mean, me personally, I'm very confident about this game. I think that the Lions are a very hobbled team fully healthy. I think just based on what they've been doing all season, I think this is a very, very good matchup for us, even fully healthy. They're a team that likes to play a lot of man coverage, a lot of cover one, and that I think that's just music to Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens. I think that's music to their ears. I think that we will absolutely be looking to get revenge from our from our game against the Lions last season. I'm hoping the players we have on our team took last season personally and go out there and look to embarrass them the exact same way they look to embarrass you guys when you guys were hurt and horrible. Michael Parsons was at that game. DeMarcus Lawrence was at that game. Dak Prescott had already been out for this season, and they almost put up 50 points. They were running trick plays, throwing passes to their linemen. I want you guys to go out there and embarrass them.
Yeah.
It's what they deserve. Their fan base is one of my least, like, I despise them.
Have you interacted with a lot of Lions fans?
I had the same exact vitriol for them last season before the game.
I mean, because of that.
They have been the biggest batch of crybabies since our 2023 win over the Detroit Lions, where with the same exact problems they're having now in terms of coaching and their philosophy in terms of going for it on fourth down.
That's Dan Gamble. Yeah, they're calling him Dan Gamble now.
Those same problems have been biting them in the butt for 2 years, and that is why they lost to us in 2023. And I don't know why they have been so upset with the Cowboys as a team and as a fan base. Like, that was our fault, but they, like I said, they've been crying since 2023.
Yeah.
That is why they chose to embarrass us last season. So
it's
time for the get back. I'm hoping they return the favor. And now, I was talking to my brother about this. The Cowboys have always been, like, I've said this on the show before, they've had plenty of opportunities for situations like this.
Right.
And they sometimes fall short. They always fall short.
Always.
It's insane to me, actually.
Yeah.
It almost hurts to where it's like, no way you let this happen again. You don't take it personally what transpired before and don't try to. And so if this team is different, if this is going to be a team that's going to going to be looking to exercise some demons, this is another notch on that list.
Yeah.
And another way that they can show things are different. And obviously,
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
To be the hardest stretch of our games, everybody, the Eagles, Chiefs, and then the Lions were already looking. So if they can come out of that stretch 3-0, the rest of the season is looking bright. They'll still have to handle their business, but it starts this Thursday going to Detroit. Like I said, I'm very confident. They're very hurt and hobbled this season. Yep. But
they thought they were going to get some reinforcements with Frank Ragnow almost coming out of retirement. I mean,
right.
Man, he was coming out of retirement. Man, it has a grade 3 hamstring. And I don't even know, like, no one said if he's even going to play next year. So
I don't know.
I mean, we'll see how that plays out because he can't play this year.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Brian Schottenheimer he comes out and is aggressive because he was a part of the team last season. So that loss applies to him too. And I just hope he's aggressive and, like I said, even if they weren't injured as they are, I would still feel confident, especially after just the way we've been playing all season. And that even in our, like, bad games, I think offensively we've only really had two bad games all season.
Yeah.
And that was against the Arizona Cardinals, and that was the game where – no, it was the Chicago Bears and then the Denver Broncos. And the Chicago Bears, that was a game CeeDee Lamb got hurt in-game. That kind of threw off their entire game plan. And against the Denver Broncos, I think that what gives me more confidence going forward is because in that game, I remember going into it, and I said on the show, talked to my brother, but then just talking about the game before, I was hoping that we didn't play scared, that we didn't play afraid, that we were aggressive and didn't let the fact that they have a secondary as good as they do kind of change the way we played. And Brian Schottenheimer talked about it before our most recent game against the Chiefs, that he regretted how conservative he got in that Broncos game, and that he wouldn't let, he literally told Dak to never let him do that again, to play that way. And so just going forward, if that's the philosophy we're having, if that's the mindset we're taking into games, I think that I don't want to get ahead of myself and don't want to feel too overconfident, but just the way our offense is played, we've been saying all season that as long as our defense is just decent, that we should be able, that we can beat anybody. And they've shown that that's just about true. The defense has been more than decent since the trade deadline. And they've given our offense times that started off slow in these last two games, the ability to kind of get their feet under them and become the best offense in the league throughout the game. And if we can just continue that and just be even if the defense gets a little bit worse, if they don't have their best game, I feel like we're playing in a way that the other side can complement the other to where we don't have to be perfect on either side and we can still win a lot of football games. So very, very excited to see how this season, you know, continues to play out. It's going to be very, very interesting towards the end with a lot of very important games that have insane playoff implications. And definitely we'll see how this thing shake out.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dallas is surging right now, right? We posed the question last week. You know, these past 3 weeks, man, they have just found a way to win football games. Y'all's defense has stepped up to the plate now with reinforcements, right? Quinton Williams and Logan Wilson and company. And you now have the defense to match the offense that y'all been putting out all season for the most part. Yeah, man, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are surging 1,000%. I think if they win this Thursday against Detroit, that'll go a very long way in terms of y'all's playoff hopes. Because then, like you said, you'll leapfrog Detroit, and then you'll just be sitting right there behind Carolina at that point. And really, I mean, I don't know. I feel like y'all have the higher potential of finishing stronger than Carolina. And so, I mean, if you can, man, if you can mess around, sneak in, you know, that's all you need is the invite to the dance in the NFL, right? It's all you got to do is get an invite. So, anything can happen at this point. Like you say, you got to just keep taking things 1 week at a time. And, you know, we'll just see where things play out after this Thursday.
Me personally, though, this kind of segues into y'all's game. My hopes is that we win the division. I think that's still possible. I think that I'll let you kind of get into it. But the way Philly things are shaking out in Philly, I think that we have a very...
No, I definitely have a
good shot to win the division this year, but I'll let you. You can just.
I don't know. I mean, we still got to play Washington twice.
The Bills and the Chargers.
Yeah, Washington. I mean, yeah. In terms of the division, it's Washington. We split with y'all. We split with the Giants. You know, if we went out against Washington, that might put a stranglehold on it. I mean, we'll see how things play out, honestly. But
It doesn't really, the wins and losses versus who really, it's if y'all win 3 more games, y'all have it locked up no matter whether we win out or not.
Yeah.
But if y'all were to lose 2 versus whether it be the Commanders once, the Commanders twice, the Bills, the Chargers, you also play the Raiders, but I mean, yeah, if y'all lose to the Raiders, then who knows? Yeah, but.
I mean, look,
So if y'all were to lose 2 games and we went out, then we would win because of our tie. With Green Bay, we'd have the same amount of wins.
It's very plausible. It's very plausible. Let's get into Black Friday. Me and you worked on Black Friday,
right?
And I had the game on as we're working the tailgate. Obviously, couldn't watch how I really wanted to, so I sat back when I got home. Sat back down. Later that weekend, and I turned the game on and locked in and watched it. Man, I mean, I said this before we even started recording. Yes, our defense gave up over 300 yards rushing, right? As bad as our defense played on Friday, as bad as our defense played, right? I'm not even blaming the loss on our defense, okay? We gave up over 300 yards rushing. Do you realize by halftime, it was still 10-3? Like, it was still a one-score game at half, right? Still a one-score game. Caleb Williams, he didn't play great. He made a couple, you know, clutch plays, right? That touchdown to really seal it. You know, he made plays when they needed him to, but he didn't play great, okay? Man, our defense, even giving up 300 yards rushing, our defense gave our offense so many chances. I'm talking about we turn the ball over and we don't even we give the Bears a short field and we don't even let the Bears score. They turn over on downs, right? Our defense gave our offense so many chances. So many chances. They couldn't show up. They literally could not show up. Running game, I'm not even going to say it was non-existent because when we ran the ball, Saquon was averaging 4.3 yards a carry. When we were running the ball, he was actually getting decent lanes. Like, it was actually working. We just abandoned the run for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why, because that was the one consistent thing that was working, right? That was the one consistent thing that was working. Jalen had a couple design runs in there, and he was getting out in space, and it was working. Again, abandon the run way too often and way too early. Don't know why we did that. I know A.J. Brown had 10 catches, 132 yards, and two touchdowns. When I tell you, it didn't even feel like A.J. Brown was playing watching that game. It didn't even feel like he was playing. And he did most of his damage in the fourth quarter, right? Like, second half, had went through the third quarter, most of the fourth quarter. Like, that's when he really did his damage. In the first half, passing game was non-existent, really. Non-existent, man. I'm not even going to spend too much energy on it because I've been saying it. We know what it is. Everybody knows where I stand. It is 2023 all over again. It is. It is. Our offense is anemic. It's a joke. It is horrible. It hurts to watch. It actually hurts to watch this. Yeah, I can't even put this loss on our defense. Don't get me wrong. They played bad, especially against the run. Like, that was literally our worst game against the run, ever. But even giving up 300 plus yards rushing, we still had chances to not only tie, but win the game, right? We had chances, and our offense just could not, would not, and refused to show up, right? And then, of course, after the game, Nick Sirianni, we're evaluating everything. Does that mean you're evaluating play calling? Changing play callers? Nope. Kevin Petullo's still our play caller. Still. Oh, but Nick, you changed play callers in 2021 and in 2023. What's different about this? Yeah, you know, like I said, we're evaluating everything, but Kevin is star offensive play caller. I'm telling y'all, this ship is going down. Like, the free fall is here, okay? The free fall is here. The ship is sinking, and I don't even know. I mean, and brief side note, again, Kevin Petullo, horrible at his job. Deserves to be fired. No question about it. But you clowns that egged his house, what is that going to do?
Right.
Like, look, seriously, is that going to make him quit?
Yeah, no.
Like, come on, bro. Like, there has to be a level of boundaries here. All right. Us as fans versus them as the professionals. Again, Kevin Petullo sucks. He deserves to be fired.
But he's still like a person.
Yes, like you idiots out here egging his house thinking that's gonna do something. And you idiot, they put it on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
They put it on TikTok. So I hope you get caught. Yeah. I hope you get caught, clowns. What's wrong with y'all, man?
That is vandalism.
Come on, man. Like, that, I'm not a part of that fan base. That's not what we do here, man. And Philly's a tough town. It is. And you see Kevin Petullo walking down the street, you could say he sucks, whatever. Keep it to the game, obviously. But yeah, the egg his house, come on, man. Y'all are clowns for that, bro. But yeah, man, it's a wrap, man. I see it. The writing's so clear on the wall. There's also talk of Jalen Hurts doesn't like design QB runs. And I'll be honest with you, I heard that, and two thoughts came to mind. One, he really just wants to protect himself in a long term as best he can, right?
Yeah.
Playing quarterback and whatnot, fine, fair. Two, he is really like tunnel vision, gung ho on proving to everybody that he's a pocket passer and he's not a dual threat, and like he can do it just throwing from the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which, if that's his mode of thinking, I'm like, dude. Like, don't get me wrong, his numbers in the pocket, like, they're pretty good. Like, he's on par with the top guys in the NFL, right? But it's like, dude, why are you handcuffing yourself? And in essence, why are you handcuffing your offense, right? Jalen, you are literally, like, when you're on the field, you're one of the best athletes on the field, right? We all see the videos of you squatting 500, I think it was 600 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. We all know you can run out of this, bro. We all know we've seen you run over guys. We've seen you run past guys. We've seen you do it all, man. Just like, man, if that's really the case, I don't even want to say Donovan McNabb because he had the same issue. That's why people had issues with him, because he wasn't running enough. Somebody just needs to like sit down with him and just, you know, getting is here. Look, there's a balance to this. Like, even Lamar, right? Because there was a debate a couple weeks ago about, because Josh Allen, he has like the, I think he has like, I don't know if he has the most rushing touchdowns, but he's like, he's getting up there for quarterbacks. And there was a, which I don't even think this is a debate, but there was a debate going around about like, who's the best dual threat quarterback of all time, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. And to me, it's not even close.
Josh Allen's not even second.
Why? Right. I mean, to me, if you're asking me Lamar versus Josh Allen, it's not even close. It's Lamar by a long shot.
Yeah.
Right? Lamar washes him in total rushing yards, washes him in yards per attempt, rushing attempts. Like, he everything. The only thing Josh Allen beats Lamar in is touchdowns. That's it. Right?
And
that's
I guarantee a lot of those are, like, within
goal the line situations. Right. Right. But, I mean, Josh Allen, he makes a lot of scramble plays. Runs,
but, yeah, but it's not.
It's not even a question. It's no question. It's Lamar Jackson. But, you know, when we talk about Lamar, like, it feels like, and I mean, these past couple of seasons, right, he's kind of like, I don't even want to say dialed back the running and scrambling, but it's kind of like Lamar's game is just Lamar's game, right? Like, you watch Lamar Jackson play football, and you're almost guaranteed at least two or three times a game, he's going to make a play that you've never seen before, right? And he's going to scramble out, roll out to the right, scramble all the way back to his left, juke out a safety, juke out a linebacker, cut it back inside, go zigzag, playing pinball, and then, you know, say just go. It's like, that's just Lamar Jackson, right? Now, Jalen Hurts is not that. He's not, but, like, dude, if the free yards are there, take it.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying? If we have Saquon Barkley in the backfield, we can run a read option or a design quarterback run with you, dude, take it. That means they got to defend everybody, and there's one less person in the box. Like, I hope that's not the case. Again, these are all the reports coming out of Philly now. I really hope that's not the case. But if it is, I need somebody to get in his ear and just be like, dude, this is your game. Like, that's what makes you dangerous, right? We know you can throw it, you know, when you have time. We know you can throw it with the best of them when you're on. You can also run with the best of them, right? Like, don't handcuff yourself. I hope that's not the case, but that's all.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's all coming out right now, man. It's a wrap, man. On this season, it's a wrap. It's 2023 all over again. We're not changing offensive play callers. This ship is going to sink. Nick Sirianni is going to let this ship sink. I mean, people are going to start calling for his job. There's a fine line, right? Because when do you decide, okay, fine, like, yeah, Kevin Matullo's bad, but, like, Nick Sirianni's letting this go on for, right. Like, right, so when
this
do you...
This was your choice.
Right. God. I don't know, like, because if you fire Kevin Matullo right now, in my mind, like, you would promote Scott Leffler. Like, he's our quarterback's coach. He was at Bowling Green. Bowling Green had, like, one of the best offenses in all of college football when he was there. He was the reason Harold Fanning got drafted as high as he did, and he basically had him become the best tight end in college football that season. Yeah, like, all the talk is like, we need to get him. Like, we need him to design the offense, and, you know, that's all the talk. You know, they even asked him about it. They asked Nick Sirianni about it in media availability. They was like, how involved is Scott and Parker? Parker is our passing game coordinator, I believe.
Right.
Like, how involved are they in the offensive game planning? And, you know, Nick Sirianni, I knew exactly what he was going to say. He was like, oh, you know, like, yeah, this is a team effort. This is a collaborative effort. And, you know, everybody's involved. And I knew exactly what he was going to say.
Coach talk.
Right. Yeah. So I'll say this. I mean, I'm not going to say fire Nick Sirianni yet, but, man, if somehow, some way, I can't see this happening, but if somehow, some way, Kevin Matullo survived into next season, it might be time, big dog. I mean, Doug Peterson is out there now, right? Frank Reich is out there now, right? Doug Peterson, our former offensive coordinator and former head coach, right? Super Bowl winning head coach,
yep.
Right? Frank Reich, former offensive coordinator,
Like, they're both out there now, and everybody keeps saying, like, oh, like, can we just bring them in to, like, consult at the very least, right? I doubt either of those things are going to happen. Yeah, man, it's just, it's a sinking ship. It's a sinking ship. Golly, it just, it stings to my core, because we spoke about this so many times, about it, the season, this season specifically having so much parity, and the fact that the reigning Super Bowl champs cannot take advantage of that and just take advantage of the talent that we have, right? It's not like we came into the season and the cupboards were bare. No, we came back. Don't get me wrong. We lost some key guys on defense. Yeah, we did. We lost Mekhi Becton in our starting right guard on offense. We did. We lost some key guys. But the cupboards were not bare at all. At all. Oh, and let me say this too. Jahad Campbell, our star, our first round draft pick, rookie linebacker, he didn't play at all. Didn't play at all against Chicago. His snaps have gone down dramatically every week since N'Kobe Dean's come back. Now, all I'm saying is you could have had Jahad, N'Kobe, and Zach in there to help against the run against Chicago. Jahad Campbell absolutely could have helped against the run versus Chicago.
Right.
Right. I don't know what that is. Listen, Jahad Campbell's one of our best 11 players out there on defense. And even if he is a rookie, you just got to figure out ways to get him on the field.
Makes sense.
You know, so and N'Kobe Dean, he's going to be, his contract's going to be up after this year. I mean, we'll see I would love to bring him back, but if you're asking me if I got to pick between Jahad Campbell and N'Kobe Dean, I'm going with Jahad Campbell. The upside is there. The range is there. I mean, he can literally do it all. He can literally do it all. Yeah, man, it's looking rough, bro. I mean, not even looking. It is rough. It's rough in Philly. The free fall is happening. We got the Chargers coming up on Monday Night Football. Justin Herbert, I don't know if he doesn't play. I mean, we should win the game if he doesn't play. Right. He fractured his hand. He's preparing like he's going to play. We'll see.
It's his left hand that said no.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he does not play, I'm saying right now, if we lose to a Trey Lance-led team.
Yeah, that will be.
I'll be liable to do something at that point. Yeah, man. Yeah, it just, like I said, wild card now, man. Wild card now. I looked at it today. They said if the season ended today, we'll be playing the Green Bay Packers, I believe. Yeah, it's one and done, man. It's one and done. The Philadelphia Eagles have a lot of work to do. They got a lot of soul searching to do. Really, until my head coach is ready to look in the mirror and say, you know what? We effed up. Kevin Batullo's not the guy. I stuck with my man for too long, right? Until he's ready to do that. We're going to be stuck here, man. And I don't know how much longer Vic Fangio plans to coach, right? But, I mean, God forbid if he retires after this year, you know, new defensive coordinator, and who knows what he's going to want to do and, you know, all this and that. Yeah, it really, this season is just feeling like a wasted season. I just told you, Jalen Hurts has 25 total touchdowns, one interception. 25 total touchdowns, one interception. Won't even sniff MVP conversation because his offense can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. That we don't have offensive identity. When we do stuff well, we don't stick to it for some reason. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's my sound off, man. The Philadelphia Eagles season, it's a wrap, bro. It's a wrap. We'll finish probably, what are we, 8-3 right now. So, I mean, we'll finish. I'll say 12-5, probably 12-5, but it's not going to mean nothing. It's not. And anybody who was saying different, I don't know what you're just refusing to acknowledge at this point. If you just think, oh no, it's okay, like, we'll get it figured out. No, we're 13 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
If you don't have it figured out now, you were never going to figure it out. That's just a fact. Okay. That's just a fact. So yeah, man. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not. It's just, this is the reality of the situation. This is the reality of the situation. The Philadelphia Eagles have a lot of work to do in the offseason, got a lot of soul searching to do. And, yeah, man, yeah, Kevin Batullo, you got to go, dog. I'm sorry.
You did not deserve to get your egg housed. Or I said your egg. You did not deserve to get your house egged. But you got to go, brother. I'm sorry. You got to go. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. You kind of mentioned it, though, you know, with the MVP voting a little bit. And it, look, you know, Matthew Stafford dropped a game against the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May, he had a great game last night against the Giants, but it was the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the top two guys right now. But, you know, if the Cowboys can finish very strong, and if y'all can sneak in to the playoffs, I think Dak Prescott might have a real legitimate shot.
I agree. I think that because, like I said earlier, I think for us to make the playoffs or be where we want to be, we would need to win out. That would put us at 11-6-1.
Yeah.
I think that at that point, we'd be, depending on what the Rams and what the Patriots do, we'd be maybe two games behind them, maybe one, maybe three, if we'd be right in there. But in terms of individual performance, right now Dak is second in passing yards behind Drake May. Well, he will technically, he's behind Drake May, but Drake May is on the team who hasn't had their bye week yet. So after bye Thursday,
is this upcoming week.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Week 13.
Yeah, it's super late. But so I'm going to just assume that after Thursday, Dak will be leading the league in passing yards. He's second in passing. He's second in total touchdowns behind Matthew Stafford. And so I think just if you look at that being so high in like a lot of the categories, higher than like the guys in front of him in other categories, you know what I mean? I think that puts him right up in that conversation with them. I think that the only thing holding him back right now is the team's record.
Yeah.
And that is solely indicative of how slow of a start we had defensively, because even within those losses, within the tie we had, Dak was amazing. The offense was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing everything they could to win us those games. It just wasn't enough. And a lot of them, I specifically look at the Panthers game and then the Packers games as games that offensively we did more than enough to win. Defensively, they just could not get one stop when they needed to in the end. And I think that individual-wise, that's why I think that he's done enough. That's why I think that if we can, the way the defense is playing now, if we can, you know, stack those wins up at the end of the season and we get maybe another game or two like how Matthew Stafford and the Rams played against the Panthers, then, I mean, that's for a lot of things we need to happen this season. We are kind of counting on some other teams to help us out with a lot of that just because of how we started, but it is what it is. Every season, a lot of things are going to kind of come down to that. I mean, there are teams that, you know, you could say, quote-unquote, handled their business, who are still going to have other teams come through for them towards the end of the season. The NFC is the way it's like ramping up. It's going to be, there's a chance like a 10-11 win team doesn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's just tough. It's just how the chips are falling this season. But I think that I'd agree that right now that Matthew Stafford and Drake May should be above him in terms of the MVP race. And I mean, before this last game, we had this whole conversation. The award was Matthew Stafford's to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, and performances like he just had against the Panthers will do exactly that. But I think he was at 30 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. And so now he's at 32 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So, I mean, they brought him back down to earth just a little bit. Yeah, so if they keep chipping away at that, the award will be up for grabs for sure.
Yep. 1,000%. 1,000%. It'll be interesting to see how this MVP race plays out. But speaking of MVPs, switching gears a little bit, speaking of a two-time MVP in the NBA, Giannis, I mean, he might want out. I don't know. You know, everybody's making a huge deal about him scrubbing his social media of majority of Bucks stuff. He still has them winning the chip and the NBA Cup on there. I mean, what do you think, man? Do you think Giannis should want out at this juncture? You know, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're not doing good right now. Giannis has also been out for a big portion of the season. You know, their roster is completely retooled, right? No Damian Lillard anymore. You brought in Miles Turner on that big contract.
You got a lot of young guys, a lot of guys on vet deals. Ryan Hollins has been a bright spot for them. Maybe their point guard of the future, who knows? But the Bucks have not been, you know, doing well. Giannis have been out. And I mean, yeah, what do you think about the situation, man?
I think that as a player, he should always do what's best for him. If he doesn't want to be there anymore, so, oh well, leave. Like, there should be no team loyalty, should be an afterthought, shouldn't even be a...
An afterthought.
It shouldn't even be a factor in the decision-making. I think that, because in the same sense that if he wasn't playing well, if it wasn't working, they'd have no problem shipping him off to somewhere else if that's how they felt as an organization. So if he thinks that things aren't going well, he doesn't like the decisions they've made, he doesn't like the outlook of their future, then he should leave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I was talking to one of my coworkers about it earlier today, right? And he was basically like, well, Giannis was, you know, given, you know, the PRBS this offseason, you know, in the summer, talking about, I never wanted Dame to leave. Like, I didn't ask them to move Dame and, you know, but I'm happy to have Miles and all this and that and the third. I feel like Giannis wanted out once the Damian Lillard trade happened. Because that trade should have never happened.
You mean when they traded for him?
When they traded for him, yeah. When they traded for, because that trade should have never happened. He didn't want to go to Milwaukee.
He wanted to be in Miami.
He wanted to be in Miami, right? Now, I don't know, because I can't remember who. I don't know who else was possibly in talks of getting moved to Milwaukee to partner up with Giannis. But, yeah, because all the talk with Giannis is, right, like, he's too talented of a player to just have one chip and then just be done with it, right? I mean, if he wants out, like you said, I mean, the minute a guy wants out, it's a wrap. Like, don't even try to fight it. Like trade him and maximize your return on assets, right? It's funny because I don't know what the market for a Giannis is right now. Like, because before, right, like in the offseason, right, Toronto was a little bit of the talk of like, oh, they might be in the mix for a Giannis, right? Toronto's kind of like, they have been the surprise team, right? Brandon Ingram, it looks like he's finally decided to play at an all-NBA level.
Right.
And lead them along with Scottie Barnes and company. So I'm wondering, man, I mean, can you dig up some teams that, like, you feel hypothetically would be a Giannis away? And please, for the life of me, do not say the San Antonio Spurs. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't really like that matchup, but I think that there's not a team in the NBA that wouldn't benefit in that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Team in the NBA that wouldn't make it work. Like, other than obviously, like the Lakers, maybe, or like the,
well, okay,
the teams that are just like established already, but, or maybe even like the team like the Rockets who just got KD.
Yeah.
But like every other team, you're going to do whatever you can.
Let's see who they're throwing out there right now. Giannis trade rumor. Let's see who they're throwing out right now. Three likely destinations. Let's see. They brought up Atlanta. They brought up the Spurs and the New York Knicks. I don't see the Knicks happening because you got Carl Anthony Towns. The Spurs, I don't want to see that.
And I don't really think he wants to go to a team that where, like, I think we
that's,
talked about
that's this already built.
I think he would want to go to a team that's already built.
Oh,
so he'd be going to another team that's bad, that's where he has to be the guy and do it all, is not much different from being in Milwaukee. I think he wants to go to a team where there are other guys to where if he comes in, it's all, they're like,
now, you know,
they're already pretty much a championship contender. He just adds to that and makes them like a favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, you know what, though, if I, like, okay, like, if you had to just call it right now, your gut, Does Giannis get traded? I don't know if I see it.
No, yeah, I don't really see it.
I don't know if I see, like Ja Morant, I think that's inevitable, right? Like, he is going to be moved.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, that's inevitable. Trae Young, I mean, Jalen Johnson is playing out of his mind right now. So, it seems like they might be way more open to moving him now. And, you know, striking while the iron is hot if you got Jalen Johnson ascending like he is right now. Who else there? I don't think there are any really big names they're talking about moving right now. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any. I don't think there's any really big names out there, you know, in the trade talks right now.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, like you, I mean, if Giannis wants to leave, then yeah, man, by all means, leave. But I don't see him, like, I don't see Milwaukee saying, like, you know what, fine, like, we'll just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think Giannis would really have to, I think he might have to pull a Jimmy Butler.
Like, bad organization, yeah, like, sit out, or, yeah.
I'm not, like, F Milwaukee, basically. Like, I think he'd have to pull that before Milwaukee even sniffs trading him. Real quick, how are the Lakers looking? I know they just had a bad loss yesterday, but
yeah, outside of that loss, they've been looking amazing in all season ever, and then especially since LeBron's return. Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic are looking like one of the best duos in the NBA. LeBron has been able to kind of just slide in and
play third fiddle.
Get it? You were saying they were kind of criticizing him for getting his 10 points and then not really.
And then subbing himself out.
Subbing himself out, I mean. But that's been, since he's come back, I think he's averaged maybe 13 points a game. He's
done. Are we ready for the, like, are we ready for the LeBron, what, point drop off? Like, where he goes from averaging, because what did he average last year, like 23?
Yeah, like 23. I think it's more so just.
Not him, even, like.
I think it's just been him kind of easing himself back into it.
Yeah, I was just saying,
like, the 10 points since he's been back, he's been kind of hovering around that mark, and it just became a problem. I guess because they were losing, but they were already losing by 20 to 30 points. So yeah. It's like, ooh, yeah. Why are we really critiquing anything that wasn't really, that didn't attribute to the loss per se, but
yeah,
I mean, I think that in the 82 game season, you're gonna have some bad games, you're gonna have off nights.
It's impossible. Not, I mean, now, unless you're the freaking Oklahoma City Thunder, who are on pace to win 75 games.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just,
they're 20-1 right now,
dude. Can we talk about that? Like, how you realize the Thunder are set to have two, like, top 15 first round draft picks next year?
Yeah, like, the Lakers are, like, all through, we're second in the West, but we're four games behind. We're 20, they're 15-5, they're 20-1,
and they just got back Jalen Williams. They just got him back. He hadn't played all season. Yeah. That's not fair, man. Like, it's legit not fair how great the Oklahoma City Thunder are and how great they appear to, you know, be for the next 5 to 7 years.
Their one loss was a 2-point loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. I wonder how, I don't remember how that game ended, but
Drew Holiday might have made a play. Yeah, dude,
maybe got to have some type of record for, like, point differential right now.
Oh yeah. No, dude, they could literally be the best regular season team in NBA history.
Oh,
this season, like, they're on pace to do it. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, I think it's hands down, they're the favorites to run it back, right? To win it all, like, they have to be.
Definitely.
I don't even know, because the East is kind of like, you know, everybody loves, like, the Detroit Pistons, how hot they are right now. I don't know if I see the Detroit Pistons coming out of the East yet. I don't know. You know who I really think might be a sleeper team a little bit? The 76ers. I only say that because they kind of give me vibes. They kind of give me, like, the Shaq, Dwayne Wade, Miami Heat vibes, right? You got Tyrese Maxey, established all-star. Vijay Edgecombe, he was looking like the real thing as a rookie, right? You got Jerry McCain. You got Quentin Grimes. You got PG playing better than he was last year,
yeah.
Right? Playing way better than he was last year. You got Kelly Oubre. You got Andre Drummond. And you have a Joel Embiid. But now you have a Joel Embiid who can be your third option, right? You don't got to rely on Joel Embiid to lead you to the promised land anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the 76ers could be a team to watch out for.
They got to win some more games for me, but
yeah,
I mean,
I'm just saying, I think they could possibly make a run down the stretch. Because, I mean, the East is kind of, I mean, the East is wide open.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
I mean, Indy's down for the count. I don't know. Are you looking at the standings right now? I don't know. Yeah. Where's Boston at?
They are 8th, 12-9, yeah. but yeah. No Jason Tatum, no, obviously.
Right, right.
Sixers are 11-9.
Who's okay? Is Detroit still at the top?
Yes.
Yeah, who's
17-4? Raptors are second, 15-7. Heat are third, 14-7. Knicks 13-7. Magic 13-8. Cavs 13-9. Hawks 13-9, and then Celtics 12-9.
Man, you know what? The Miami Heat, man. Eric Spoelstra, that man. He's just proving it year after year.
Definitely.
He's just proven it year after year. He is one of the best coaches in the NBA. Because I know Tyler Hero, he just started playing right. They got, I mean, Andrew Wiggins, Bam Adebayo. Like, they got some, I mean, Bam is definitely, what did I say? I say Bam is a top five center. Yeah. Where you put him?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, I like Bam a lot. He's kind of undersized for the center spot, but dude can guard 1 through 5 like nothing.
For sure.
And he kind of has a jump shot now. Yeah, man, the Miami Heat, that's going to be one to watch. That's going to be the one to watch. Don't even get me started on my Bulls, man. Just blow it all up. I've been saying that. We just need to blow it all up, man. I'm sick of this. Yeah, Vooch wants out so bad. So, dude, he was so pissed at a post-game interview. Because we won, but it was a bad win, like horrible win, right? And Vooch is talking about like, oh yeah, like we gotta do so XYZ better. And the young guys, Matas and the young guys, they come over, they're like, you know, playing around. Yeah, playing around. And he's like, bro, like he's so pissed. We should have traded him before, right? Boston. I know they could still use a big man. Right? I mean, we should trade Kobe White too, man. Maximize our return on investment. We'll see. That's a story for another day. But before we get on out of here, it's time for What Say You. And Landa, you wanted to speak about superstitions today. What prompted this?
I'm a pretty superstitious person.
Yeah?
Well, not it's not like, I mean, not in the sense that like there's a whole bunch of different ones that I do.
Yeah.
You know, I like live or die by them. The biggest one that I can think of is just not splitting poles. But me and my brother, my mom, we are like super, super big on not splitting poles.
Yeah.
And my dad, he's the guy in the group who's like purposely trying to split poles because we're not. And so it gets annoying. But yeah, that's a big one. And then knocking on wood in terms of like to not jinx something, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. No, those are really just the main ones. What about you? Are you superstitious?
I'm like you. I'm not like super superstitious, but like there are select ones where I'm like, I'm gonna hold on until I'm dead. Like you said, I'm with you with the splitting the pole one. Well, mom raised me on that early and I have not forgotten that since. Another one for me, I don't know if your parents ever taught you this, but you know, my mom, she, I remember, you know, she used to tell me when I was young, she would, whenever it was a full moon out, right, get your wad out and pray to the moon.
Oh, no.
For financial blessings for you and anybody who you love. Right. And, I don't know why, but like for some reason that one has just always stuck with me. So anytime I'm out and about, I notice it's a full moon. I'll literally stop in my tracks. I'll get comfortable, pull out my wallet, hold it up, send up a little prayer. Yeah, man, I've stuck by that one. Let me think. Do you know the one? If you pick up a penny, and I think if it's tails, it's good luck.
Yeah, I've heard, I don't know if it's which one, it's heads or tails. So, and it's funny. I avoid picking up pennies for that reason. Cause I've always known that like one is like, if it's on heads or if it's on tails, it's good luck. But I've always thought, well, if one is good luck, then we pick up and on the other one, it's bad luck.
No.
And since I don't know which one.
I'm the opposite though. Cause I kind of said like, you know what? I literally remember one day I was like, you know what? Bump that. I'm finding your money. That's good energy to me.
So I'm grabbing up anything nowadays. I don't even care anymore. That's good energy to me. Heads or tails, I don't care. I'm taking it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there any more? I think those are the top two for sure that I like live and die by for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. But hey, that's a wrap on this episode of Birds of the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And what say you, man? Cowboys fans, I'm sure y'all are feeling up and alert. Now, the season might not be over.
Right.
It's very likely the season is not over for y'all yet. Eagles fans, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Whether you want to admit it or not, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. It's 2023 all over again. Let's just strap up and get ready because the ship is sinking. All right, the ship is sinking. We're free falling, man. What can I say? We're free falling. What say you about Giannis? Y'all think Giannis should get traded? Should he want to get traded? Should Milwaukee try to deal him? Or does Giannis stay and try to figure this thing out? I mean, does he pick loyalty over legacy at that point? Because that's how people would view it, right? If he stays and he only gets one, then he's choosing loyalty over, you know, possible legacy of going somewhere else and getting more chips. So, yeah, man, how do y'all feel about that? And what superstitions do you live or die by?
Yep.
Are y'all not spinning the pole at me and Lando? Do you also pray up to the moon from financial blessings? Let us know, man.
Not superstitious. Are you a little stitious office fans? No,
little stitious.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite little quotes from them. But yeah, let us know which ones you're living your life by that kind of spook you from doing certain things.
Right, right.
And then yeah, like you said, Cowboys fans, let us know how you're feeling. I know a lot of people are telling you not to get your hopes up, or if it's going to be the same old Cowboys. At this point, the only thing really stopping us from, you know, getting to where we want to be is might be our start to the season. We might have shot ourselves and dug ourselves into a hole that we can't really dig ourselves out of. But if we get into the playoffs at that point, I think we'll be a very scary team that nobody
wants to play. All you need is an invite to the dance.
And at that point, the only thing really stopping us from, you know, achieving our goals would be just us being the same old Cowboys and not being able to shake that funk. But I mean, if unless you believe in, you know, those type of superstitions, then these guys got some demons to exercise. Let us know if you think they can do it.
Right. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yep.
Like, comment, subscribe, let us know you feel.
Do all that stuff, man. Keep us in your notifications. So you know what I'm saying? You know, we're going to keep ourselves in there, but you know, do your part to make sure you're like following us everywhere. We're going to have stuff, so you know when it's there.
Right. 1000%. Well, until next week, peace.
Later.